My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Wonderful, wonderful blessing. If you have your Bibles, I would love for you to go to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 7. Here's what I believe God wants us to do in 2020. And I think that it would be good to start. You say, well, when do you want us to start? Now. Right now. Today. I want you to start this morning. And you can start. That's the good thing about it, is that you don't have to go to college before you start this. You don't have to get a degree. Nothing wrong with going to college and getting a degree, of course. But really, all you have to do is want to do it. You got to want to do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you really want to do this? And this is what I want you to do. What Isaiah says, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, and the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Is anybody waiting with expectation on what God is going to do? Has anybody got a promise that God's given you that perhaps has been delayed and hasn't yet been fulfilled? Is anybody waiting on God? I mean, I know you're waiting, but are you waiting with expectation on God? And here it is. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. And with my soul have I desired thee in the night. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and I desire thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Now, are you hungry for God? Is your desire set on Jesus Christ? You say, oh yes, I want Jesus. I'm going to ask you one question, and if you can't answer it within 2 seconds, what are you learning? What is Jesus teaching you? Oh, I know what you think everybody else needs to be doing. That would come out in 1 second, pray. But that's not the question. The question is not what everybody else needs to be doing. The question is, what is he teaching you? Well, I know everything. No. Nobody, if you knew everything, then you would be God. Oh. Wow. Boy, that caught you off guard, didn't it? But here's the word that the Lord sent me to tell somebody in this service. I don't know what night you're going through, but if you can just start looking for Jesus and desiring Jesus. He told me to tell you, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am for you. Have faith in God and speak to the mountain, and I will remove it. And so I just want to set our desire on the right thing, on Jesus and him alone. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, have you ever noticed that just some people know Jesus better than others? I mean, even people that have been in church a long time, there's just a difference. Some people know Jesus and some people don't. Some people actually walk with Jesus, and others, you just can't tell whether they walk with Jesus or not. And I've asked myself, well, what's the difference? Some appear to enjoy a fellowship with Jesus that is totally foreign to others. And so I asked myself, is it a matter of favoritism on the part of God? Or can anybody qualify to experience this higher level of spiritual closeness? Are there secrets that we may discover to discover what Alfred Tennyson called the altar stairs that gives man the opportunity to ascend from his lower state to a higher state? But the Bible's clear. The Bible's clear, church. We decide, not God, the level of fellowship we enjoy with Jesus. That whether or not we want to be close to God is really the deciding factor. It's up to us to make that decision. We're really as close to God as we want to be. Both scripture and experience teach that it's we, not God, who determines that degree. And so if we can make the right choices, I think that we ought to admit it, that most of the time the problem, when it comes right down to it, is we're not prepared to pay the price for that closeness. The qualifying conditions get a little more stringent when you want to go a little higher with God than we're prepared to meet. So we settle for a little less demanding level of Christian living. And then we wonder why promises are not fulfilled and God is not glorified through our life and through our choices. Well, we now understand why. Because you got to have a relationship with Him to support that. Listen, church, I'm going to tell you, you say, well, I'm Pentecostal, I got the Holy Ghost, I got this, I got that. You may have all of that, but everything that flows out of a Christian's life and service flows from our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that vital fellowship with Him, everything else is out of focus. You got to know Him. This is what we need to do. Hosea 6, 2 and 3 and just a short time, He will restore us. And the Lord sent me to tell somebody, in a short time, somebody's going to experience restoration. Somebody's going to get a restoration here today. You're not going to be left broken. You're not going to be left bruised. You're not going to be left in chains. But God's going to restore you so that we may live in His presence. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. He will respond to us, church. I said, if you'll start drawing closer to Him with full assurance of faith, this is the promise. He will respond to us. Listen, do you realize the promise that's in that text? If you'll just act like you want Him, if you'll just come towards Him, if you'll just desire Him, just act like you want Him. The Bible says here, He will respond to you. The only reason you don't have this relationship is because you don't want it. He will respond. Church, I don't know about you, but I want it. I want to get as close to God as I can get. And in 2020, that's all I'm going to be doing is trying to connect to Jesus. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn. That's how sure the promise is. Let me ask you this, since you really don't know whether it's true or not. Did the sun come up this morning? If the sun came up this morning, then He'll respond to you if you move towards Him. All you got to do is respond. All you got to do is say yes. When our communion with Him is close and real, it's gloriously possible to experience a growth that's unique and powerful. I like what Hosea 6 and 6 says. This is what I want it to be in your spirit. I want you to show love and not offer sacrifices. Whew. Say, well, I really desire the Lord, but how much do you love people around you? Was it something I said? You need to start loving your brother and your sister because you can't. I'm sorry. I know you think you can escape the Word of God. You got a reason, but you can't escape what Jesus said. If I say I love God and I don't love you, then I am a liar according to the book. You don't mean it. I mean it. That means you got to love everybody in this building. And if you're not there, then your desire needs to be toward God. And you need to get your eyes off people. You can't do that looking at people. You can only do that by desiring a touch from the Master's hand. Can somebody just stand up and say, I love the Lord? Can somebody just stand up and say, I love my brother? Can somebody just stand up and say, I love my sisters in the Lord? If you can't, if God's not teaching you how to do that. Now, this is my experience, okay? I've had a lot of experience with this simply because God put you through the ringer to get there. He has to teach you how to do that. Because it does not come natural. The natural man cannot do that. It is impossible for you in your flesh to do that. Your flesh won't do it. Because we could take a baseball bat to your flesh and you still won't do it. It can't happen. You mean I gotta love everybody? It's amazing that what a good old-fashioned praying through in a personal relationship to God will change your perspective on everyone around you. I intend to love God and love my neighbor as myself. Upon these two, hang all the law and the prophets. Now, where did you get your scripture from? I got mine from the book. And the book says, I got to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then I got to love my neighbor as myself. Woo! And boy, he defined who the neighbor was. Anybody that I see that needs a touch from God, I need to love them enough to try to help them. See, I need a relationship with God to do three things. Number one, I need a relationship with God so that I can, so that relationship can support the promise. I want to support the promise that God has made. The second thing is I want to live through the process he has to put me through in order to fulfill that promise. And then I want to learn what the purpose for that promise is, because that promise has a purpose. And until I learn it, God will never fulfill it. Joseph received the dreams, but he didn't know the purpose for his dreams. Huh? He did not know the purpose for his dreams. So guess what? He got put in a pit. He got sold to Potiphar's house. He got put in prison. And when he came out of prison and he was finally placed on the throne, then he learned his purpose. Oh, that's why God gave me those dreams. After 20 years of having to go through a process, he learned what his purpose was, and then nothing could stop him. And he could have used his power to destroy his brothers, but he didn't. He wasn't so petty, because he knew now that his purpose was greater than his pettiness. And when you can learn that, then you can develop a relationship with God that'll bring you close so that you can fellowship with him. Moses found the same thing whenever he brought the children of Israel to the mountain, and there the glory of God appeared. And then the people didn't want to go any higher, so he took 74 elders with him and he went a little higher up the mountain. Then they sat down and they ate and they had fellowship with God, and God set a table before them and they had a fellowship with God. And then just not the 74, but two, Moses and Joshua, went a little higher up the mountain. It just gets a little bit, it just seems like the closer you get to the cross, the fewer people you have that go. As a matter of fact, the same principle. Then Moses goes all the way up the mountain and experiences God. Same thing happens with Jesus. He selects 70 people, sends them out by twos to preach the gospel and the good news of the kingdom. And Jesus does the same thing. He's got his 70. And then he spends all night in prayer. And God says, choose 12 of them to be close to you. So he chooses 12. And then out of the 12, three began to develop. Peter, James, and John, they draw even closer to him. And then it was John who leaned on him at the Last Supper. And it was John who was at the cross. Not Peter, not James, not Matthew. It was John that was at the cross. You say, well, he was the one that Jesus gave his mother to so that he could take care of his mama. Because I'm telling you, only Jesus could think of his mama while he's dying on the cross. Now, we got to take care of mama. Amen. Now, all you brethren out there, you got to take care of mama. You want a happy marriage? Make sure mama happy. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Church, it's how high do you want to go and how far do you want to go? Is it just because John is unique? It can't be temperament and it can't be perfection because all of those disciples made mistakes. It was James and John that got their mama to go ask Jesus, could we sit on the right and the left hand of God? That's the reason why that God still chose them anyhow, because he did not let their imperfections, but he let their desire. You say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, nobody who gets close to Jesus is. Quit quoting me some perfection you got in your mind. That's just your excuse to hate people. And get a desire to love people and to love God. I can't love everybody, but I can love Jesus, and Jesus can help me love everybody. Church, I want you to get your desire on Jesus. Now, say, well, how do I know whether or not I have this deep desire for God? Can I really go higher? Well, there's three things, and then I'm going to be closing. Three things, very quickly, very important. First of all, your desires have to be consistent. That means that you can't want him on Sunday and then not want him on Monday. And you can't want him on Monday and then not want him on Tuesday. My desire is toward thy name. In other words, you can't just know God as God. Well, I love God. You got to know his name. And if you call his name right now, if you know it, does he know your voice? Because if he doesn't know your voice... We was in this big crowd and I called the name Elise, and she immediately recognized her name, this little 2-year-old kid turning around and calling for Papa. Could not see me. She was in a crowd. I called her name, but she knew my voice and I knew her name. And I knew it when she said Papa, that I had found Elise in a crowd, and now I know everything is all right. And that's what you need to do. You need to have that kind of closeness with God. And if you don't have it, there's only one. You say, well, I'm not perfect. I've done this wrong. Well, Peter, James, and John. Peter, he was the one that denied Jesus 3 times. But his desire. Judas was the big problem because he betrayed Jesus. But if he would have had desire, he could have come back and repented, and Jesus would have forgiven him. You would have disqualified him because he betrayed Jesus, but Jesus would not. He would have qualified him if he would have had desire. So I'm going to tell you right now, desire will find a way. And lack of desire will find an excuse. Second thing is, your desire is always going to have the right values to it. In other words, you're not going to say, I desire God and won't give up your alcohol. You can't say, I desire to be saved and won't bridle your tongue. You can't say, I want to be saved and then speaking ill or doing lashon hara against your neighbor. You can't say, I want salvation and then don't come to church. Amen. Many say unto you and shall seek to enter in, but shall not be able. So strive to enter in at the straight gate. Seeking will not do by itself. You got to strive with it. That means you got to go through the process. If you do have desire, it'll have the right value to it. It'll be consistent. It'll be on Sunday morning, Sunday night. It'll be at baby dedication. It'll be on Wednesday night at Bible study. I've got what my desire is the Lord. I've got a desire to his name. I've got a desire for him even in the night. When I can't see what's going on and I don't understand, I'm looking for him. I'm looking for the one who can lead me out, and I'm looking for the one who can protect me in the time of darkness. I'm looking. I'm searching for the one. And then the desire, there has to be an urgency. It's now or never. You can't ever put off and say, well, I'll come back tonight and desire the Lord. If you want him, you got to want him now. There's no such thing as waiting until I feel better and then I'll desire the Lord. You got to want him. You got to want him. You got to want him. You can't wait. You can't wait till your favorite preacher gets here. You can't wait till you go to your favorite conference. You got to do it now. Oh, there's no desire. You can't say you have a desire if you don't have it now. Right now, God can heal you. Right now, God can do a miracle. The brother that got healed the other day, and God healed him. He was in the bed, could barely get to church, but God healed him. He was dancing all over this platform. He was in prayer meeting at men's prayer meeting. Where are you? Just wave your hand at me. Well, there you are with your little white coat on, your blue shirt. Come on. Hallelujah. I've got desire now for a miracle. That means no matter what condition, the conditions aren't perfect. They never are. Listen, I've been in church all my life and I can't find the right time to seek the Lord. But now is a good time. Now is the right time. Today is the day of salvation. If you will hear his voice and not harden your heart, go ahead and stand up. Now you can have what this book says you can have. No, I got to go through a qualifying committee. No, somebody got to approve of me. No, I got to go and I got to make sure I'm well and fixed up for the next 6 months and go through therapy, and then I can want God. No, now. Your desire is now. I've always wondered, could James have taken John's place? Or was there room for James and John leaning on Jesus? And let me ask you this. Was there room for all of the disciples at the cross? There was room. I mean, there was room for the Roman soldiers. Huh? There was room for the crowd that was mocking. There was room for the mockers. So even in the presence of mockers, haters, and killers, John's desire found a way to get to the cross. Just to be able. And I don't think John knew what was about to happen at the cross. I don't think he knew that he was now going to be the caretaker of the elect lady that he wrote to in his epistle. I don't think he knew that at the moment. I think he discovered it. I don't know what you're going to find when you get here, but I know if you come with desire, you're going to find it. I do know that. You will discover. And you talk about a change in your life. You say, well, Brother Kinsey, if I've got to love everybody, how in the world am I going to get there? Don't worry about that. I desire thee in the night. My desire is to thy name, so that the world might learn righteousness. Because I want Jesus to teach me. I wanted you to instruct me, because I got to get to that cross and find life and find the love of God and find, you know, some people that you have to love and God calls you to love and puts in your path to love. It takes more prayer, some more prayer than others. I understand that. Some takes more learning. I got to go back to school. How many of you had to re-enroll in college? How many of you had to go all the way back to the first grade? See, if you have it, then you haven't learned it. Because I promise you, if you learn this, you're going to have to remember there are some people that are very difficult to love. That doesn't mean they're perfect, they're right, or they're saved, or any of that. It just means my heart's got to change. That's all it means. That's all it means. I got to change my heart. If my heart changes, oh yes, then I have a relationship that'll support the promise, live through the process, and learn the purpose. And my desire will be consistent, of right value, and it will be now. Desire, urgent desire. It'll change everything in your life. If we make this our focus, right, and start, when do you want me to start? January 1st, 2020. No, if you wait till January 1st, you'll have too many black-eyed peas and ham and rice, and you won't have any desire. You got to do this now. Right now, some of you are in a darkness, and you need a miracle. Right now, I want you to lift your hand and say, Brother Kenzie, I need a miracle in my life right now. Right now, I need God to do something in my life. Right now. I don't need it tomorrow. And that doesn't mean we don't need God tomorrow, but I can only live now. I'm only alive now. I don't have the promise of a tomorrow. I don't even know if I'll be here tomorrow. All I know is I'm here now. And now I can receive what God has. Would you do me a favor? Would you just step out where you're standing right now? Those of you that need a miracle, would you just step out? And our prayer team, and if you want to come to the front, you can. If you want to just step out in the aisle, that's good. And if some of our people could just see who's out in the aisle and just go to them right now. Right now, he needs a miracle in his life. He needs the miracle of life. He needs the miracle of grace. He needs the miracle of mercy. If your desire is not now, then you don't have desire. Because there's no such thing as having desire when the conditions are right. That's not the kind of desire you need. You need a desire that's always in the now. You need a desire that always has a right value attached to it. You have a desire that is consistent and continual. That's how I know whether or not I need to learn something or not. Because if it's not there, then I need to learn. And I need to worship. And I need to glorify Him. Come on, all over this house, you need a miracle. God is able to do it now. You don't have to wait. God is able to do it now. To love somebody, to care for somebody. The closer you get to the cross, the fewer people you will find. Because the cross teaches you, and the cross changes you. If you ever get there, America. And God needs to perform that miracle on your behalf, because you can't do it. If you set your hand to it, you will do the wrong thing.
Chains are broken, eyes are open, miracles are in this place.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.